everybody, for listening to The Short Thing today. It is February 14th. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Warren and Ryan here with you today, obviously talking about the Super Bowl yesterday, as now we have put a bow on the football season for 2021. As we look forward to free agency, the draft, and then the start of next season as the wheel goes around. Check us out, Spotify, Apple Podcast, and your iHeartRadio app under the podcast section as well. Ryan, how is it going out there?
It's going well. Started the morning off a little bit slow. I wasn't the only one. My kid slept in way longer than he usually does. But that's how it goes, Super Bowl Monday. But it was, you know, good game, good time watching it. And here we are, ready to roll.
Yeah, we had the Super Bowl yesterday, and then as what, not me, but what people call the Black Super Bowl this coming weekend.
Which is?
The NBA All-Star Game.
I've never heard that before.
All You've right. never heard people call the NBA All-Star Weekend the Black Super Bowl?
I have not, no.
Oh, God, yeah, that's what they call it.
I've just always heard it called the NBA All-Star Game.
Oh, no, yeah, that's what
Or the, a stripper's top weekend.
Well, strippers and the ladies of the night. And let me Correct. Tell you, if you're a lady of the night, head to Hudson, Ohio, baby. Did you hear about this story?
No,
did you see
I did
this
not.
Viral clip?
No.
So Hudson, which is a suburb of Cleveland, but it's like 35 minutes away, probably like relative.
Like McKinney to Dallas?
Like a Plano.
Okay.
Kind of like a Plano Frisco type of thing. So the mayor gets up, I don't know, he was at some city council meeting last week on Monday, and he gets up and there was something about ice fishing. And he was like, they wanted ice fishing in Hudson, which I didn't think that there was even like a big enough lake to go ice fishing in Hudson or where they would have done it. But what then he says, this is what he says when they were talking about whether to be allowed at the Hudson Springs Park. He says, if you open this up to ice fishing, while on the surface it sounds good, then what happens next year? Does somebody come back and say, hey, I want an ice shanty in the Hudson Springs Park or for X amount of time? And if you allow ice fishing with shanties, then that leads to another problem, prostitution.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So that went major viral, as you can imagine. So then obviously people are having a lot of fun of photoshopping on the lake at Hudson Springs Park of a bunch of prostitutes out there with the ice fishing going on. And then they did pass ice fishing at the meeting last week, I think. So you can now ice fish, no word still if I think it's prostitution. I'm not saying I think it is illegal on that, but you know what, a bunch of probably ladies of the night and the strippers are heading to Cleveland. Go head out to Hudson, maybe you get a little extra business.
There you go, a little you know, a little partner to warm up with while you throw a reel in.
Isn't that pretty crazy though, by the mayor?
That's Quite the leap to make. It's almost like a Freudian slip. Like, hey, buddy, like, how did you go from ice fishing to prostitution? You know, where did that come from?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, but it got a lot of buzz out there. So that was I thought that was pretty funny that clip there. So all right, let's get into the Super Bowl as the Rams take down the Bengals 23-20. So going back to the divisional round, every game except the Bills and the Chiefs was decided by 3 points, and that was decided on the in overtime on a touchdown. So great run for the NFL here coming, or great closing run for the NFL. Ratings are going to be at an all-time high. I would imagine they have been all postseason, but the Rams get it done. Lots of things about the Rams team. Stafford gets his win. We talk about him. Odell, what a range of emotions for him yesterday. Talk about him. The Bengals defense again in the second half plays great. They played pretty well when the Odell injury went out, when Odell went out with the injury, but those probably coincide with each other. What we all thought was going to be a big problem for the Bengals was, so shout out to all the smart people, really anybody with two eyes, that the Bengals weren't going to be able to block the Rams, and they got sacked 7 times. But Ryan, I think we got to start off, if you have your sheet, I think we got to start off with recapping our prop bets.
We do.
Because I think we had a pretty successful day.
It was a good day.
Now, there were also some unlucky losers. Hand up, I think we bought into the hype on the kickoff. No.
Yeah.
Or the touchback. Like, we got too, and we got too enthralled into that.
Yep.
Too enthralled into that. But you know what? That's fine. The first prop I gave out on the Monday after was the overpass attempts, 2.5. We got 4. Because they don't count the extra point as a pass attempt.
Correct. Yeah.
I would have been, I didn't think they did, but I would have been pretty pissed if there was not another pass attempt. And you got one on the extra point because the bat snap by Johnny Hecker. But we've been talking about that for 2 weeks. So that was a nice one to cross off the list there.
Yeah, I mean, and early too. I mean, early in the second quarter, I think it was Joe Mixon throwing that pass. And then we got a Cooper Kupp one later just to kind of pad the stats a little bit. But yeah, so like you said, I mean, it was easy money. We'd been on it for a couple weeks now. I think that's an auto bet every Super Bowl going forward, you know, and I think even if you don't get it some years, it's probably going to be up money, you know, over the long term. But yeah, that was a quick and easy one hitter. My early one was the over on the national anthem. It was funny, right after we had finished recording on Thursday, Jamie had left to go run some errands, and so I was sitting here working or whatever, and I get a text and she goes, "Hey, Mickey Guyton just had a song come on the radio. You got to take the over on the national anthem. She's an up and coming star. She's going to milk it for all it's worth. It's going over." And I was like, "All right, let's go. We're riding. We're going over." Sure enough, it hit over. And
it was close though, wasn't it?
It was close. It was, yeah. And too, like, she took a nice little breath and pause there right at the end, right before she hit Home of the Brave. Or something like right at the end, right at the last couple lines, she took a little breath, and that was what kind of pushed us over, I think. And she really held that brave. So that was the first one that hit for me. Shout out Jamie for the insider information.
You know she's from Arlington?
I did not.
Yeah, she's a DFW product. She is from Arlington. I missed the national anthem because we were watching the golf. And the worst thing is when that thing goes to a playoff, and especially a multiple hole playoff. Leading up to the Super Bowl, but I missed that. Then we got Odell first touchdown, which was, again, people should have been able to see that a mile away just based on the Browns thing. Punting, both punts went over. Now Huber went over by a yard. He had 54. His longest punt was 54. Hecker's was 55. His was over 52. And then on Friday they added the touchbacks, and I took both on the touchbacks. And I was so pissed at Zach Taylor that first drive. The man has been not a very aggressive coach all year. And then he decides to go for it on 4th and 1 from midfield. I thought we were going to get a nice, easy touchback early on, but we didn't. But then the Johnny Hecker touchback was never a doubt. He was plus 380 for a touchback. Hecker was. And we cashed that. I don't understand why. Like, I'll take both punters every year to have a touchback. I was unlucky on the under first quarter, 9.5. And then the flea flicker, I thought we might get one. But I think when you run a halfback pass, you're not going to get a flea flicker.
Correct. Yeah.
So agreed. I got
to be honest. I think the days of the flea flicker might be gone. And we're just going to be rolling through variations of the Philly special where it's, you know, kind of a reverse. You know, double reverse or reverse wide receiver pass. I think that's the new age of the flea flicker.
But the Bengals, I tend to agree, but the Bengals ran a flea flicker in the AFC Championship game. Or there was a team on championship weekend that ran a flea flicker. Like, it's...
Yeah, they did. I forget who. I think
was it the Bengals?
No, I think it was the 49ers.
Okay.
Because it was a flea flicker that turned into a wide receiver screen. Maybe it was the Rams. That threw
yes, that was it. Was the Rams? It was the Rams.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
So I thought they might dial that up again.
Okay.
But yeah, the flea. But it was also like plus 270. So I mean, that's not. Yeah. for a fun thing. But I would say, and then we got our over sacks, our team sacks over 3.5. I think you missed your exact one by one, right?
Yes.
They got 7 and you had 6, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. But well, that was a profitable day for us, I think, unless other ones you had out there.
Yeah, first touchdown.
First to score.
First to score, first jersey, or first touchdown, jersey number under 23.5. Shout out, Odell. And then the under first half, never a doubt, under 23.5. We got that. So that was a nice little victory as well.
Yes. All in all, so a good profitable end to the good end to the season there. All right, to the game. Let's just start at the end. Obviously, great drive by the Rams to take the lead. But Stafford was great. Have you've been seeing the thing on the play on Twitter when he does the no-look pass to that's pretty – I didn't realize he no-looked that. Like, that's pretty incredible.
It was. And the way he threaded the needle was, you know, it's a great pass if you're looking dead at the guy.
Yes.
It's an amazing pass and a ballsy time to attempt that. At that point in the game, you know, that's obviously something that they feel very comfortable running, a route they run all the time. But in order for him to pull that out in that spot at that time, I mean, you want to talk about that's the Pedro Serrano running down the first baseline, big old marbles celebration right there.
For sure. And if you watch the video from behind, look at number 57 on the Bengals, the linebacker, like he's jumping because he thinks the ball's coming to him. Uh-huh. Like coming to the tight end he's covering, and he just totally did not. He just was like totally faked out by it. But that's when they finally, like Cooper Kupp before that drive, only had like 4 catches. And then Stafford, I can't remember who he was talking to. It was on the radio or was some interview. He was like, well, I just thought, hey, you know what? Let's just throw the ball to Cooper Kupp no matter what. And that worked for him. You could say the flag on third down Pate helped them out. It did, but I mean, I'm not really here to, oh, that's another one we missed was the penalty yardage over. I'm not one to hear any business about the refereeing yesterday. I thought it was very well done. And if you're the Bengals and you're crying about the refs, I mean, the first play of the second half, you got a touchdown that should have been a, offensive pass interference when Jalen Ramsey gets hit right in the face by T. Higgins. So
correct. Yeah.
So it all evens itself out. But great drive there by Stafford. I want to pump the brakes on saying that's one of the greatest Super Bowl drives we see at the end of a game. As much as I love Stafford, let's just tap the brakes on that. It was a solid professional drive, but one of the greatest of all time. We can pump the brakes on that.
Yeah, no, very, very good drive. You know, methodical. That was kind of what I expected to see the Rams most of the game, you know, and we were seeing at the beginning, but then when Odell went out, I think their game plan kind of, you know, had to shift quite a bit. And so they weren't as methodical with their drives as they had been, but it was very good drive. I mean, Cooper Kupp, that drive obviously wins him the MVP. I still think it should have gone to Stafford. I know he throws 2 picks, one of them not on him when the tight end kind of bats the ball up in the air and it gets picked. But I still think Stafford put on a great performance and, you know, throws 3 touchdowns. I think he was over 300 yards. I didn't see his final yards.
283.
I think his prop total was 284. I saw a couple people missed. But nonetheless, great back shoulder throw, great adjustment, great catch there by Cooper Kupp there at the end. And, you know, they were moving the ball, you know, really, really well. But, you know, it's definitely in the pantheon of Super Bowl drives. But, yeah, to say it's the best, I don't know that that's going to be necessarily the case.
I think it's what Al Michaels said.
Talk about low energy when when the game was over, when Aaron Donald gets a sack. You didn't even realize that. You would have thought it was just like, a fourth and one with like 8 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter.
I think we're both big Al Michaels fans, right?
Yeah.
I know I am. I thought that was a poor performance from him last night.
Kind of mailed it in.
Yeah, didn't it seem like it?
Yeah, not a lot of energy.
And I'm surprised because that's like the last Super Bowl he's probably going to call.
Uh-huh.
Because Amazon, unless he's going to re-sign with NBC, which I don't think he's going to do because they're going to bring in Tirico or elevate Tirico up to that. That's why they got him. But like that's going to be your last Super Bowl. I think he's called however many Super Bowl in the double digits of Super Bowls. He goes out like that for a Super Bowl. I thought he had a tough, game. I thought he was poor. And then just the continued shots at Cleveland about OBJ, like, dude, what are you doing? Like, that was just unnecessary. Just what I thought Al Michaels was poor, which is disappointing there. But did you think that that Burrow was going to get him in field goal range there at the end?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think everybody did.
Especially after the first play.
Correct. And I think the play call there at the end, the third and one, a little bit, left something a little bit to be desired. I don't know, fourth and one, if you put a guy in shotgun and have him drop back in a, with an offensive line that's been struggling to protect him all year all year long, but definitely all game long. And, so I think whether it's Zach Taylor, I don't know if he calls the plays or the offensive coordinator, I think they kind of dropped the ball a little bit there, no pun intended, on that last drive.
I didn't hate that the third down run. I didn't think if you know you're going for it on two downs, why not try around fourth down? You have two downs to play with the run. Why not run it on third and one? I don't hate that. I don't understand why Joe Mixon wasn't in the game.
Correct.
That's the bigger thing I would say. Why are you giving a rush to Perine there instead of Mixon? And then Perine, I saw people saying that he should have dove for the ball there. I think it's kind of hard to knock a guy for that. Like, he clearly didn't think the ball was going to be coming to him and he wasn't in a good enough position. It did look like he alligator arm, but I don't know. I think it's hard for people to just say like, oh, you know what? He should have given a better effort there.
Talk about alligator arms. Tyler Boyd alligator arm won big time. That would have been a first down. Ended up being a turnover on downs. I mean, that ball was right on your hands, hits your hands. And like I said, alligator arm a little bit. He ended up dropping his first drop all season long.
I know. And he felt the pressure on that one too.
Yeah.
Like he felt the hit coming. But also, what is Jalen Ramsey doing there at the end? Trying to be hero?
Yeah.
Like that was the ultimate hero to zero. And then if you look at the fourth down, if Burrow has time or able to get away from Aaron Donald, Chase cooked Ramsey. Like there's the still of Ramsey like lying on the ground as Chase is going by him. So he was getting, if he could have got away there, but really a remarkable performance by Aaron Donald yesterday and the whole Rams defensive line, even though we know how bad the Bengals offensive line is. How do you think the Chiefs feel? They got one sack on Burrow the entire game. He got sacked 19 times in the playoffs, 70 times in the entire season he got sacked. Obviously, that's what they need to figure out. But Donald had 18% of his 18% of his rushes were ended in a sack, and they had like a 45% pressure rate. So Burrow was under pressure like literally half of his dropbacks. He got hit 11 times yesterday. Like damn, that was what everybody saw coming.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that's exactly what we expected, you know what I mean? And they delivered. I know there was a couple times that they put the center and both guards on Donald because they were stacking one side, the Rams were, and they put, I don't know if it was the center and both guards or the center guard and a tackle, and they had a tight end there to help block the edge. But when you're getting a guy doubled or triple teamed, I mean, talk about the ultimate respects. It's like, we know we can't block you one-on-one. We might not even be able to block you two-on-one. So we're going to give up 60% of our line just to block one guy. That's remarkable.
Yeah, and it did work, but it didn't work.
Yeah.
Along that, but I thought the turning point, I think a lot of people will agree with this, but obviously the Rams offense without Odell was clearly a shell of itself. Warren Sharp just tweeted out some numbers that their EPA, which is expected play average per attempt with Odell, was plus 0.62 with 11.7 yards per attempt on 12 attempts. And then without Odell, they had 28 passes and it was a minus 0.16, and that was a 5.1 yards per attempt. So clearly when Odell went out, the Rams offense for a while didn't do anything, and they were getting great field position. Like they were at the 50. And they were just like, McVay was just adamant on running on first down all the time. And it was they couldn't run the ball at all. Like, they could not run the ball at all. They were just killing drives by doing every first down run. They'd get great, great field position. And just like, all right, you know what? We're going to get like a first down or something, and we're going to punt. Because McVay was, I thought, poor on his play calling early on. But Odell really was a dynamic for the Rams all season. They don't get to the Super Bowl, I think, if he's not on the team. And it's a tough look. It's a tough scene when that when he goes out with the non-contact knee injury. You got to wonder. You can't think it's good. And with it happening in February, who knows when he's going to be able to come back? He's going to be back for next year or when next year. But tough scene all around. I guess a big range of emotions for Odell.
Yeah, I mean, talk about it. A guy went through a whole lifetime of emotions, probably in about a hour, 2 hour span between catching the first touchdown, putting your team up early, and then, you know, like you said, the injury going on. He was having a good game, had a couple catches for 52, 53 yards, and then, you know, tears his knee up. You think it's over the way things are going. For the Rams, it just did not look good. Their offense was stalling. Like I said, a lot of that had to do with how many times they're running the ball first down over and over and over again just to run into a brick wall. Now, to their credit, though, I did see that the Bengals were giving up like 4.5 yards per carry on first down runs, I believe. So, you know, I guess you kind of want to keep going back to that wheel, you know, that of maybe we break one here. But after a while, it's like, hey, how about you put the ball in Stafford's hands, the guy that you brought in here to get you to this point and win you this game. But nonetheless, yeah, you know, back to the Odell thing, tears his knee, wins the Super Bowl. Now he's going to have a kid here in the next couple days. I mean, holy moly, that guy, it's a good thing he's not super emotional generally, right? Because or else that might break a man.
Yeah. The thing about the first down run, so, but once you notice, you see the trends of the game, like it's not working, just stop calling the run.
Correct. No,
like agreed. Just, and he just kept doing it. That's the biggest thing. Yep. The thing about Odell is what is he, I think we talked about this before, but like, what is the Odell redemption story that everybody's saying? Like, is it from the injuries he's overcame? Is it from being on a team where the quarterback wasn't using him properly, but he also wasn't adamant about creating a great relationship with Baker on the field? Like, what is really the Odell redemption story that we're like going, that the media is portraying here?
I think it's got to be, you know, bursts onto the scene, has a great first year, great first couple years. He has the catch against the Cowboys. Now it looks like he's going to be one of the all-timers. Things don't go well in New York. They have the shirtless boat picture, and things really go downhill from there. He goes to Cleveland. Like you said, the quarterback play wasn't great, although he didn't do a lot of his part to try to get things going. So it looked like, oh man, you know, after all this hype of Odell coming in the league and taking the league by storm, now all of a sudden it looks like he's just going to be just another guy. And then now he comes back to the Rams, or comes to the Rams in the second half of the season, really is a huge difference maker, obviously a huge difference maker in the postseason. And so you kind of see the guy that that we were expecting to see after those first couple seasons in the NFL.
All right. That's kind of what I was thinking, but it seems, I mean, they sound like this guy just came back from the dead. I don't think he really came back from the dead. I thought in Cleveland that he showed he was capable of doing good stuff. He just sometimes wasn't engaged, or the quarterback wasn't throwing him. Watch the Odell Senior video when like Baker just wasn't very accurate throwing him the ball. Along that. So that was, and the whole, I think the other thing too is like the media created him into like a bad teammate situation.
Mm-hmm.
You go hear people from the Giants when they were there, and people from the Browns, hell, the whole Browns team minus one guy, you think you can figure out who? Pretty much the whole team congratulated him on winning the Super Bowl yesterday. I think a ton of guys on the Giants were happy for him. I don't think anybody ever said he was a bad teammate. That was literally in the locker room. It was the media saying, oh, this guy's a diva, this guy's all this, because the guy was, wears his emotions on his sleeve, and it looked like he was frustrated when he's like, I could just, if you give me the ball, I could help you win. And they misconstrued what he was actually saying. And so now they, as we know in America, we love a nice tear you down, build you back up. And that's what we're experiencing right now with Odell. They tore him down, and now we're building him back up.
100%. Yeah, no, that's exactly what it's going to be. And now, you know, should he re-sign with the Rams, which it sounds like that's what they're going to try to do. And then coming back from this knee injury, it's going to be, you know, the biggest redemption story that you can, you know, kind of find. And everyone's going to love to build him up. That's why I'm just going to stay woke on this Joe Burrow love, because everybody loves Joe Burrow right now, much the way everyone loved Patrick Mahomes, just like everyone loves Steph Curry. And they, everyone always, you know, you always turn on them, and then it usually comes back around.
Yeah, well, I think the Burrow thing is going to be, people are going to do, not saying, look, I like Burrow. I think you're going to see a quick turn on Burrow.
Yeah.
But also that, like, I always love too, when we get a young quarterback in the Super Bowl, like we saw with Mahomes, he got back, but he's only won one. It's like, oh man, the Bengals are going to be back here, like maybe next year. I
don't see that.
I like, look at how strong the AFC is. Like how, like you have Herbert, you would think Herbert, the Chargers are going to make the playoffs this year. You have Mahomes, you have Josh Allen, you have maybe Lamar. Trevor, huh?
Lamar.
You have Lamar, you have Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville. If they could figure something out, who knows if a trade Aaron Rodgers goes to the Broncos, who knows what other teams try and make a trade for a quarterback to do that. The Steelers have a good defense. They need to figure something out. Like there's so the depth in the AFC, you have the Titans now who they get a quarter, like the depth in the AFC for quarterbacks is incredible. Like you got 10 teams that you could say the Dolphins, who knows if they could figure something out with Tua. They won what, eight, nine games last year. Like there are teams out there, you're like, holy cow, like your quarterback or some bounces go your way in close games that you're in the playoffs. Like there's so many teams in the AFC that do that. And now the Bengals, they're obviously, if people at the beginning of the season thought of them as like a cupcake or like, oh, you know what, maybe next year they'll be good with Burrow, this and that, they're not sneaking up on anybody, and they still have issues. Like, are they going to be able to re-sign all those guys on defense that they had 1 year deals? Like, you got to think those guys are going to be gone. But like, I'm not going to say that Burrow, I would probably say if you had to give an over under on will he go to another Super Bowl or a yes or no on that, I would probably lean towards yes. But I wouldn't be confident in saying yes. And then if there was some like, oh, we're going to have a dynasty, or I don't definitely see that at all.
I would say yes, but I don't know that it's with the Bengals.
But I mean, he's going to play his whole career, you would think, with the Bengals.
I don't know.
I mean, he's going to sign the extension, like he's not just going to go be a free agent.
Oh yeah, no, I mean he's definitely going to sign the extension, no doubt. But to say that he, especially the way player movement is now, and too the way we're seeing, you know, I know it's only been 2 years, but hey, back to back years, proof is in the pudding a little bit of teams going out when they feel like they're just a quarterback away and giving up, you know, a ton to go get a quarterback just to you know, push them over the edge. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing that more and more down the road. Now, obviously, with Burrow's situation, I'm talking 5, 7, 10 years, you know, maybe not 10 years, but 5 or 7 years of being in that situation. But I don't know that he's going to play his entire career with the Bengals.
He might not, but I would probably say right now that he would, because Mike, first of all, the Bengals are the most, well, they're the cheapest organization in the league, but they're also the most, I don't know, stingy's not the right word, but like, just go back to the whole Carson Palmer situation.
Yeah.
Like, he retired for a season before he got traded. Like, yeah. They're not going to make moves to help other teams. Like, Mike Brown, he's going to do it his way. And it's going to be, you know what, you're with us, or if I think you're good enough, you're staying with us. Whatever his way is, I'm gonna be the asshole in the room, I guess, and not let you go somewhere else. Like, that's just going back on previous results that he's done.
Yeah.
But I mean, you're gonna see, we talked about this before, that you're gonna see teams go for like the Stafford situation, and you're gonna have to be cautious on who you think is like a Matt Stafford type. To that could go win you a Super Bowl, because like looking up this offseason, obviously you would think Rodgers would be a guy that could do that, but he proved that 11 years ago that he could do that. You would think Russell Wilson would be in the case that you could go and he makes you an immediate Super Bowl contender. Other than that, Deshaun Watson, you would think if you have a good enough team around, he could lead you to the playoffs, potentially a Super Bowl, but without his legal, with his legal issues, you don't know what's going on there. Those are like the three guys I would say that put you in, like, could go for a Stafford. Mm-hmm. I don't really, maybe Derek Carr on the outer edge, but he, I would still say we need, as much as I like Derek Carr, I would still have him a little below Stafford on the can he take you to a Super Bowl, but like those are the three guys that you would feel comfortable trading for, I think.
Yeah, no, no. I mean, that's a pretty good starting list for sure. But, you know, teams, like I said, copycat league, teams have seen it happen and help back-to-back seasons. Obviously, one of them being the greatest quarterback we've ever seen play, but nonetheless, you know, people are good. It's not going to stop people from taking shots for sure on trying to do it.
No, and they should go take shots on it if you think you have the right thing. But thinking that, like, maybe a Derek Carr, I don't know. I mean, I like Derek Carr. I'm not going to say he's a Stafford. I just think the Raiders have been in a bad situation. But I don't think there's equivalent to, like, a Stafford out there right now.
Agreed. No, I would agree.
Do you know how many Pro Bowl Stafford's been to?
Been to seven?
Like, Stafford is a one-time Pro Bowler.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's probably been elected to a couple, though. And just No.
Elected once.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because even if you get elected, you're still just, even if you opt out, you're still considered a Pro Bowler. He's only made one Pro Bowl. That was 2014. Uh-huh. Like, he has definitely a very interesting career. Uh-huh. As we've seen, and look, credit to him for coming up in a big spot. You got to say the Rams, it worked going out to get him, because like Goff made more Pro Bowls than I know Pro Bowl is the dumb thing, but he made more Pro Bowls than Stafford, and they went out, and what the Rams did, McVay's like, give me this guy, I'll win a Super Bowl, and I'll be damned if he didn't prove everybody right. In year one they did it, not even like, oh, we need to couple of years or whatever. In year one, they went out and won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, I mean, the Stafford, you know, I don't know if that's a redemption story, but kind of the Stafford story of, you know, this poor guy has been stuck in purgatory in Detroit, probably not in purgatory, actual hell in Detroit, for 12 years now. And then finally his first taste of being with a good team, good coach, things like that. And he's able to win a Super Bowl.
Here's the thing about the whole Detroit thing. He did take them to the playoffs twice, and there was a 4-year stretch when they did have a winning record, and they just said, you know what, we think we could do better without Jim Caldwell.
Yeah.
So, like, when he had a competent coach, they were winning, and they were going to a couple of playoffs. He didn't win the playoff games there, but then after, when they brought up Patricia, things just went so downhill. So there was a little stretch when he was bringing, like, good football to Detroit and making them into a relevant team along those lines. But
yeah,
we'll have to see what happens with the Rams. I mean, it seemed like everybody on the Rams was saying they were going to consider retirement if they won the game yesterday. Yeah. Like,
literally everybody
before the game. Aaron Donald's now considering retirement. Yeah. Obviously, Andrew Whitworth, he's 40 years old. He's retiring.
Yeah.
But then the McVay thing, I mean, the whole team was like, we're going to retire. I don't think we've ever seen that before.
Yeah, the Aaron Donald one was a bit of a shock, for sure. We'd been hearing the Sean McVay thing for a couple weeks now. Andrew Whitworth, I think he said he was retired at the end of the season regardless. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I don't think we've ever seen everybody wanted to ride off into the sunset together. So it was, you know, we'll see. When Aaron Donald answered those questions, though, it kind of led you to believe that, hey, maybe he was actually thinking about it. You know what I mean? Like, when they asked Sean McVay, he was like, oh, no, I'm committed to these guys. I want to come back, blah, blah, blah. You know, kind of went on and on. But Aaron Donald's like, I'm just going to enjoy the moment right now, enjoy this with my teammates, my family. And, you know, then we'll talk about it later. But right now I'm just going to live in the moment, enjoy this moment. So, you know, it wasn't a definitive answer for sure one way or the other. But he did answer in a way that kind of led you to believe that, hey, maybe this was on his mind. Because what else can he do from this point? Like, he won a Super Bowl. Like, sure, he could try to win 2, 3, 4, whatever. But from this point, like, there's literally almost nothing else Aaron Donald can do to make his career any better.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say that. So he's played in the NFL for 8 years. He's been to the Pro Bowl every single time. He's been a 7-time first-team All-Pro. The only year he wasn't an All-Pro was his rookie season, where he was Defensive Rookie of the Year. He's won 3 Defensive Player of the Years. He's got 98 career sacks. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer, no doubt about it. And he's played 8 years in the league. Like, what, again, as you just said, what more does he need? He doesn't need to prove anything. It's just then turns into a quality of life situation of, do I want to? The only thing you could say on his resume that he doesn't have is he's never scored a touchdown. But how many defensive linemen do you think score touchdowns? Not that
many. Not a whole lot, yeah.
He did have a 1 fumble recovery for 40 yards. That was in 2015. Would like to see how close he came to a touchdown on that one. But, like, what he doesn't need to do, he doesn't need to do anything. Like, he just, you know what, I had an eight-year career. I know I'm the best. He's definitely not a draft bust because his name is Aaron. We could put that tweet to bed. And I think you're going to see some guys start to do this retiring, like, earlier, just for the quality of life thing.
Yeah.
No, you've already seen it with some other guys, mm-hmm. but they haven't won like the Super Bowl, but like, I mean, like the real big time players, you could see it. But I also don't know if, like, yeah, I think the more Sean McVay thing was more of a power play on Kroenke to get him to raise this, to get a nice raise of salary.
It won't be a bad business decision at all.
Did you see who was sitting in the same suite as Stan Kroenke yesterday?
Was it LeBron?
No, it was not LeBron.
I couldn't pick Stan Kroenke out of a crowd if you asked me to. I couldn't pick him out of a 5-person lineup.
Okay. It was Lincoln Riley. So what about those rumors? Then if McVay actually does step away and Lincoln Riley's sitting in the thing, what if Kroenke's like, hey, Lincoln, just come over to the NFL and coach the Rams. I'll give you whatever, $20 million. You don't even need to move. You're in LA. Well, how would that shake out?
That'd be hilarious. That'd be wild.
That would be the biggest OU championship they've had since like 2001. They'd celebrate that like a championship.
Yep.
But all right, do you have anything else on the game? We got the halftime show. The halftime show was great. What'd you think about it?
Oh yeah, I love the halftime show. A lot of fun. Kind of wish that they would have. I mean, I know they only have so much time, and so. But when you're asking and saying, "Hey, I wish they were able to do a little bit more," obviously, it was pretty good. The 50 Cent cameo was a little shocking because obviously he wasn't mentioned in the original lineup. Having him hang upside down was cruel and unusual punishment. Old boys put on a few LBs, as we all do in our older age. But I don't think that was super necessary for the performance, you know, funny nonetheless, and gave us a lot of fun on the internet. But yeah, Super Bowl halftime show was great. But I think that's, one thing I want to mention, where, like, look, I get it. Eli Apple is not a good corner, but where is all this hate coming from? Like, I don't think he's a huge shit talker on social media. Maybe he is, and I just haven't seen it because, again, it's Eli Apple. But just everybody going in on this dude like I've never seen before. I mean, Jalen Ramsey arguably got cooked just as many times as Eli Apple. Sure, maybe they didn't turn into touchdowns every single time, but Jalen Ramsey did not play a good game yesterday either. But everyone just seems to be roasting Eli Apple over and over again.
Well, okay, so Eli Apple, bad falling out with the Giants. He was what, like the 12th pick in the draft or something?
Yeah.
First round pick. Didn't seem like he really cared. He was just excited to be in the NFL, like one of those deals.
Well, his mom was his agent, I believe.
Okay, yeah. So things were bad with the Giants. Don't think he was a good teammate, any of that stuff. Then went to New Orleans. And if you go, like, everybody from New Orleans that he was there was not a fan of Eli Apple. Like, he was bad in New Orleans too. The teammates didn't like him and all that. So I guess I would say from two places, people didn't like him. But then, like, I saw the Ravens were going at him yesterday. So I guess maybe then he was just a trash talker on the field. But if I'm looking at the Ravens, I'm like, dude, I'm playing the Super Bowl. You're watching me play. Yeah. Like, yeah, you want to talk trash or whatever, all you want. But, like, I thought Eli Apple, for the most part, had a pretty solid season. Yeah, he played much better than he did the past 2 years, I'll tell you that. But I don't understand where all the Ravens junk's coming from for Eli Apple. Just, I guess, because he's talking trash on the field. But I get where the Saints and the Giants are coming from, because he was just not a good professional with those two places.
Yeah.
Like the Lamar Jackson thing, I'm confused about that. And the, like, Rashad Bateman tweeting about Eli Apple. Like, I don't. Why? What are you doing? What? Why are you throwing shade to him? I don't understand that one at all.
Yeah, no, I didn't understand it either, but it seemed a little excessive.
Yeah, very excessive. Okay, so the halftime show. Last year, you does this halftime show knock off the weekend for greatest halftime show of all time?
So you know what is funny? Because I knew this question was going to come. I knew it was. I think it's in a different category because, you know, last year there was a little bit more, no pun intended again, flashing lights, you know, all the big bright lights, all the, there's a little bit more production behind it, where this was kind of more just straightforward, like just a performance by the halftime show or the halftime committee, I guess. I don't know, the conglomerate of halftime performers. I feel like they were kind of different. It was still very good, but, you know, by any stretch of the imagination, still very, very good. I do think, though, as a performance as a whole, or as a production as a whole, I did enjoy last year's a little bit more. But obviously, this year's had the nostalgia, had Snoop Dogg out there, Crip walking, sparking up blunts before he got on stage, Dr. Dre playing the piano for Ain't Mad At Ya. I had seen rumors that the Tupac hologram was going to come out, so I thought that was going to happen when he started playing the piano. By all accounts, it was a very, very good, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. But I think a little bit separate categories a bit.
Were there too many people saying that 50 Cent turned into a full dollar last night?
Too many people saying 50 Cent turned into a full dollar. Too many people. The funniest one.
He was also ripped too. Like, his arms were pretty jacked, I think.
No, he was still. Yeah, no. Ripped. Like, ripped. He was ripped. Would mean that he's like cut
I should
up,
say
like
jacked.
Slim.
I should say jacked.
He's yes. Very much still jacked. I mean, those arms got to be like 22s, 24s.
Big arms.
He's got a quarter on each arm for sure. So that's why he's 50 Cent. The very first time I saw it, it was funny when someone said, looks like inflation hit 50 Cent too.
I did see that. That was funny.
That was funny. But yeah, all the other fat jokes, let's try to be nice, guys. Come on.
I enjoyed the halftime show last night. I thought it was good. The thing, though, is there comes to a point when there's like too many people performing.
Agreed.
Like,
I could have been fine without Mary J. Blige.
Yeah, well, if you want to keep Mary J. Blige, fine, but don't bring in like Kendrick Lamar or.
Well, see, Kendrick has the LA connection, and so
I know he does. You know. But it's just like, take out Eminem then.
Yeah.
Like, he's a Detroit guy. Like, take him out. Like, what do we like? There's got to be some fat cut there. Like, that's the.
Whoa. I thought we were gonna stop making fun of 50 Cent.
I wasn't making a 50 Cent joke. But there's got to be something that's just like, you know what? There's too many people going right now.
Yeah.
I think you have to have a woman, and you can't have all men up there.
Correct,
you got to have
yeah.
a woman up there. I thought Mary J. Blige was good. It's just there were too many people. I also thought that since it was a performance, like, I don't – Super Bowl halftime show, like, you don't maybe see – unless it's, like, one of the rock – like, the classic rock bands or whatever. Like, you can't gauge if they're, like, having fun. It looked like they, like, generally were having a good time up there. Like, Dr. Dre looked like he had a smile on his face the whole time. Like, it looked like they were having a good time, which I don't know if you really see that in the halftime show a lot.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think, like you said, it was a good performance by all of them. But I did think that there were too many people as well in that. So we're kind of thinking the same thing. One last thing that's outside of the game, but also the Super Bowl. The thing with The Rock at the beginning, I don't know if you saw that because you said you missed the national anthem. I don't know if you saw that, but that was oddly bizarre and like not needed at all. Like, let's play football.
So I was going to bring that up right now. I was going to bring that up about The Rock. So I saw it. So the place where I was at, TV on the outside and one on the inside, one had the golf, one had the Super Bowl on. So I was kind of straddling the window to get a peek at both. I saw The Rock was out there, but didn't hear what he said until this morning. And I was confused. Like, I would have been confused hearing him what he said, but I was even more confused this morning hearing what he said. Like, why did he need to reintroduce the teams?
Yeah.
But they know. Like, if they would have done that coming out of the tunnel.
Correct.
Good. But just them to him doing it on the field, that I don't understand that.
No, it was a little strange and a little odd. Like you said, there was no reason to reintroduce him. I mean, the guy can still cut a promo, no doubt. The guy can still cut a promo going back to his WWE days. And I don't know, because it's LA, they want a little bit more production, a little more theatrics. But at the same time, like, this is still a football game. Like, there was really no need for that, in my opinion. I'm a huge Dwayne Johnson guy, huge Rock fan, but that just seemed a little out of place and it didn't really like mesh with the rest of what was going on.
Yeah, it was very weird. And what if Michael Buffer does the whole thing for the Rams or in LA, let's get ready to rumble to start the game. And they go to kickoff. Why not just have him do it?
Because it's not a home game, Warren.
Well, but still, I mean, it's in LA. Have Michael Buffer do that.
Yeah, no, I agree.
The Rock thing, I was confused. That was a weird bit. And then the other thing I have from a production standpoint is did they only show Goodell once or did they show him twice?
You know what? I lost count. I'm not quite sure.
Okay. I don't know. But did anybody have Cooper Kupp's wife being in the running for most viewed spouse in the game?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, between her and Kelly Stafford.
But they weren't sitting in the same suite, were they? I didn't think they were.
No, I don't think so.
They were showing Cooper Kupp's wife a ton. Mm-hmm. Like, a ton. So she got a ton of pub. So we were talking about props earlier. You know, you're talking about the proposing on a field. We had one.
We did.
Taylor Rapp. I hope Taylor Rapp told his friends, you know what I'm proposing? I hope he made his friends a lot of money last night. Like, if I'm good friends with him and he's like, and he says, if we win the Super Bowl, I'm proposing. Now you got to hope they win. But and he doesn't tell me, and I'm a gambler, and I got plus 600 odds. I'm gonna be pissed at my friend for a long time for that. Like, seriously, you're like, dude, you're giving me a chance to make a bunch of money. What are you doing? Now there's probably a limit on how much you could bet on that, but yeah, Still, you can make some money on it. Like, come on, help your buddies out, Taylor. I hope you.
No doubt.
I hope he gave him hey, I'm proposing after the game, so they could have secured the bag.
Yeah, you can only hope. You can only hope that guy, tipped him off a little bit.
Yeah, and if not, then I'm going to be pretty disappointed. But all right, that's all I have from the commercials. I don't know. I thought the Larry David had a good one. I wasn't really tuned in on the commercials that much. Who else had a? I got to go. I heard about this Pringle hand one. I got to go back and watch that. But I don't really have anything on commercials.
Yeah, obviously I got suckered into the QR code, had to. We sat there and watched it for like a good 10, 15 seconds. And I was like, I mean, I have to scan this. Like, I have to. And then I did it and my Coinbase app opened up. I was like, yeah, that's pretty good. And then thankfully they had the ultimate payoff and it hit the corner perfectly. I know everyone was happy about that, but I mean, what am I going to do? Just watch a QR code bounce on my screen for 30 seconds and not scan it? I mean, come on.
That was a great, great ad by them, though.
You know, the guy that came up with that, probably like 23, 25 years old, like just got in the biz, something like that. Like, there's no way an old fart that, you know, marketing guy that's been in the game for 20 plus years or 30 plus years came up with that. It was a young gun whippersnapper, and he crashed their website because of his genius idea.
And he's prancing into the office this morning at the ad agency, just sitting down. He's probably kicking up his feet on his desk and just saying, all you haters, because I know Larry, you over 50-year-old gray-haired man, you said this was a dumb idea. Look at me now. Like, he's taking a victory lap in that agency this morning.
Oh, 100%. His dick's swinging back and forth. He's throwing that thing over his shoulder before he walks in. It's just like, what's up, fuckers? I'm here.
He might have said something even in the Teams or the Slack yesterday. Might have just said a told ya in there. He might have done that during the game yesterday.
Rightfully so.
Yes, rightfully so there. All right, one other thing before we wrap up. How about pour one out for our friend Kristaps Porzingis?
Oh, yeah. Happened Thursday right after we were done. Well, not right after, a couple hours after we wrapped. But yeah, I like the return for the Mavs too. I mean, I think Bertans is an underrated piece that they're going to be able to add. I know he hasn't been playing great this year for the Wizards, but I think he's going to be a great add. And then obviously Dwindidi is going to be a nice add for the Mavs as well.
Yeah, both guys though have been terrible this year. Yeah. That's the only thing. They've been horrible. And the thing about Porzingis, like when he's played this year, he's been pretty good. And this is definitely a move for like next year going forward of, hey, we could flip these two guys. We could flip two guys instead of one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it goes to. And we were just talking about it last week about the deadline is, are they going to go through this core of Porzingis, Brunson, Finney-Smith, Kleber, and with Luka, like, is that going to be the surrounding cast, supporting cast with Luka for, well, we said through his whole prime, like you can't do that. And they go out and make the move. The only thing about Dinwiddie was I was reading and talking to some people or some friends or whatever. The thing with Dinwiddie in Washington, he was pouting. He was a terrible teammate because he wasn't the primary ball handler. Like that's obviously not going to work with that.
Right.
Like
right.
The same issues are going to arise here as they did in Washington. Now maybe he's like, okay, it's Luka instead of Bradley Beal or whoever the point guard was or whatever is in Washington. But like the same thing is going to arise here in Dallas. Is it potential problems that why he was unhappy in Washington?
No, 100%. And you know, if that does arise, you know, obviously we're speculating here a little bit, but if it was an issue in Washington, I don't see why it wouldn't continue here, I should say. And that's going to be, I think, an interesting task for Jason Kidd. It's to be able to handle something like that, you know, as the head coach. I don't know if what were they calling the committee, the conglomerate or whatever, the
leadership team, I think.
The leadership
right?
team, yeah. Which wasn't Porzingis on that?
Yes, he was.
So I guess they're looking. I guess they're looking to fill a chair. Maybe Dwindidi is the guy that fills a chair there. Who knows? But you know, so that I think that'll be a tall task for Jason Kidd to have to handle should it arise.
Yeah. So we'll have to see. We'll have to see what happens, and if they don't really know of like a real rim protector.
Yeah.
So they're weak up front. All right, and then lastly, continuing a great day for the small town of Highland Park, which ESPN called it.
Oh my God. Well, I saw that. Jamie was in the bathroom getting ready. I literally ran in there. I was like, bro, you will never believe what ESPN just did. They said Highland Park was a population of 9,000 people, making it look like Stafford came from this small town. Literally, as soon as I saw that, I jumped up off the couch and was like, you will never believe this.
And then they went and showed a picture of like Highland Park Village or something.
Yeah.
Like right after the small town of Highland Park, which look, they're not wrong. Highland Park is a small town, but it's a suburb. And it's
also in the heart of Dallas.
Yes, I know. But that's the funny part about it. From a small town, another young whippersnapper from Highland Park yesterday got his first win on the PGA Tour. That was Scottie Scheffler. So a big day for the small town of Highland Park.
You just love to see the small town guys getting their shots and on the big stage and coming through.
Yes, I think that was, I was listening to the ticket today. This is surprising, but I think they said that this is the first player from Highland Park to ever play in a Super Bowl, which I think is kind of surprising.
Yeah.
But I do think it's funny, like a lot of people were like, oh, all the Highland Park people are off for Stafford. I'm like, look, if a kid at Frisco High was the quarterback for a team playing in the Super Bowl, I'd be grandstanding about him the whole time, even though I didn't go to school when he was there. I'd be like, that's pretty cool. This kid on your high school. Like, what's there not to show support for that? Like, that's awesome.
No, 100%. A couple of seasons ago, I think the Rangers drafted Damian Easley's kid, and he went to my high school, and I was like, hey, this is super cool. You know, let's try to get him on. Didn't work out. But yeah, I mean, there's been a couple kids recently that got drafted, you know, playing baseball at my high school, and like, hey, that's awesome. Like, I hope they do well following their careers a little bit through the minors and things like that. You absolutely, like you said, even though you didn't go to school with them or, you know, at the same time, you're still hoping for a little bit of success because you got something in common there.
Yeah. Going back to the golf, did you see the carnage on the 16th green this weekend?
Of course I did.
I knew that. It was pretty cool.
Awesome. Fantastic. It's great for golf. Now I will say, I will side with the people that are saying this is great for golf, because I think it is, but I will also kind of side with the old folks that hate it, because I don't think we could do this every single weekend.
You cannot do it every week.
The fact that it's a novelty a little bit, you know, it happens once a year at the Waste Management, and that's kind of like the only spot it really happens. That's what's cool, is like that's they've carved out their niche for, you know, this tournament, and have made themselves, you know, a lot unique, but you cannot do that week in and week out.
No, you can't do it week in and week out. And I would like to say that the throwing of the beer on the green should only be reserved for a hole in one. Because
100%.
Sunday we were getting a little loose with the rules there. They were throwing it. Well, there was a hole in one Saturday, and that was electric. And then Sunday there was another hole in one. So they did that with Carlos Ortiz, who lives in Dallas, went to UNT. But then the whole Harry Higgs making the putt, that was hilarious. Him ripping his shirt up for like an 8-footer for par. And then Joel Damon, who actually went in the crowd after his round on Saturday in 16. Then they started throwing like beer on there. And then Justin Thomas like holed out for birdie, chipped in for birdie. And some people started doing that. Like, yeah, you can only reserve the throwing of the beer on the green for a hole in one. Like, you cannot do it for anything else.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you.
It's got to be for the big moments, but the Harry thing was that was pretty funny. And credit to the tour for tweeting it out and playing it up, because that's the big rig showing off the diet, maybe, I don't know.
Again, and something that else is great for golf. You can tell guys have been, you know, they made it to Sunday. They've been playing since Sunday. They wrap up. None of them were in contention, so it's like, all right, you know, let's have a good time. Let's go get some beers. Let's pop the top, tarps off. Let's go party.
Yes. That was a good thing there. All right, so I think that's going to do it for us. We'll be back later this week. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll talk to you then.